Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
What's up, Koopalings? Welcome back to Nintendo Voice Chat. We had to miss a week because Papa Koopa was traveling or dead or whatever it is that he does.
Yeah, you can't have NBC without me.
Yeah, apparently. But anyway, we are back and it's just us.
The core crew.
The core crew, because we couldn't get anyone else to fit it in their schedules.
Dynamic duo.
It's sad. But anyway, a lot of big news came out while you were traveling.
Indeed.
Rich. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, a whole lot. I mean, let's see. So we got some release dates, right?
Yeah, the 3DS.
Wait. First one, first and foremost.
Okay.
Pokemon Conquest.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so this is funny. So for those who don't know or just, you know, don't pay attention day to day or whatever, I've been gone for a couple weeks. I went to Miami to do some WWE related activities, which I can't talk about yet. You'll find out eventually, calm down. And I went over to Rome for Captivate, which we'll talk about in a little bit, even though there wasn't any Nintendo news. I mean, most people are aware that both of us, like, yeah, will do stuff that we our bulk responsibility is Nintendo, but then we do a lot of stuff outside of it. Like, you just did Operation Raccoon City,
the
review. Woo, experience. And then, you know, like, I mean, I'm watching over RE6. Like, but the bulk of the Resident Evil stuff comes through us one way or the other.
Yeah.
And then Altano sort of peeked his
He's
head
mocking
in for a
us
second.
For our two-person podcast, but yeah, he won't join.
Yeah.
Duh.
How sad is that? There's just too many meetings. Anyway, so I was at Captivate. Anyway, this email comes into my inbox, like, Pokemon Conquest comes to the DS. And, like, I didn't have time. I was, like, getting on a plane or whatever, or running off to some event. And I was like, Pokemon Conquest? Because I have never seen a Pokemon game announced in the US that hasn't existed elsewhere. And I didn't have time to thoroughly read through it or anything. And like, I actually still have not seen that press release.
I don't think the press release mentions Pokemon. For those of you who don't know, in Japan, this game is Pokemon plus Nobunaga's Ambition.
Yeah.
Which is
Or Conquest. Is it? No.
Nobunaga's Ambition. It's a series over there, a strategy series. And it's this crazy crossover. It's sort of Fire Emblem or Final Fantasy Tactics Advance type of gameplay where you wield more than one Pokemon at the same time and you have them attack people. And it's awesome. It's still going to have type advantages.
It's one of those things that we never thought would come here.
I wanted to play it, but when I first saw it, when we reported the Japanese release thing, I was like, this is never coming to America.
I remember we actually waited a day or so because we were just, you know, 5 million things to do. And it was sort of like, do we do this?
This isn't coming.
It's never coming here. So would we really? Because we do report on a lot of stuff that goes on in Japan, but we try to at least kind of make sure that we're probably getting it here. I mean, that was sort of the weird thing about Xenoblade and Last Story was like, how much do we cover a game that you guys probably can't get unless you're spending a lot of money to import? Those are the sorts of things we always have to
debate.
This
is one of those titles, and we were freaking shocked that it's actually coming.
Yeah, I didn't even know until you told me that. I was like, what's this Pokemon Conquest thing? And you were like, Nobunaga. I was like,
whoa.
Oh, all right. So that's kind of cool. When's that coming out now?
That is coming on June 18th. It's actually a DS game. It's not a 3DS game, but you can play it on your
3DS. That's so awesome that now we have three Pokemon titles that are coming to the DS and not the 3DS.
I know.
More importantly, that's like a week outside of Pokemon Black and White 2.
In Japan. That's true.
Which is awesome.
Lots
so they're going to they're gonna get like, you know, a Pokemon game and we're going to
get
Pokemon crazy, crazy stuff.
I'm crazy excited about it.
I think it'd be interesting.
It looks pretty cool.
Okay, so what are the release dates do we got?
Anyway, here's here's what your summer is going to look like, Koopalings, on 3DS. We have Mario Tennis Open releasing on May 20th.
Sometime.
We have Heroes of Ruin on June 26th.
That's a good game.
We have Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy on July 1st. And Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance on July 31st.
And, you know, the interesting thing, I think, and then did you say Conquest on there, too?
Yeah, Pokemon Conquest, June 18th, a couple eShop games.
Oh, yeah. I think what's cool about this is, like, you know, it maybe doesn't have the power of Resident Evil Revelations or maybe Metal Gear. Or
Zelda.
And that sort of stuff. But Mario Tennis is a good game. Yeah. So far from what
we've
seen.
If you haven't played those Mario Tennis games before, those are actually really solid games.
They're fun.
Like, I don't care about tennis. I can't make myself care about tennis.
I could not watch tennis on television for all the money.
Exactly.
All the money in the world would get me to do it.
Someone paid me, I'd do it. But I'd be gnawing my arm off out of boredom. But anyway, these games are really fun, actually.
Yeah, and so it's like
and it's made by Camelot. It's the same company that's always made those
the
games,
traditional
Mario Tennis,
stuff.
Mario Golf. So
yeah.
It's good
and,
stuff.
Well, we'll talk more about that in a minute because you actually had a chance to play more of it, but Heroes of Ruin is pretty damn solid. Like, I had a chance to play it near
that's
GDC.
That's a really cool game. It's a unique game. I got to play a lot of that too for a preview. It's unlike anything on the 3DS.
Right.
So it's sort of like a Diablo type of game.
Dungeon crawler RPG,
exactly.
Heavy on customization.
Exactly.
We can talk more about what you did because we'll finish running through it. But I mean, I thought one of the interesting things was that the dungeons sort of randomly spawn.
Exactly. So like you can go back to the dungeons and they'll be different from the last time you went there. It'll be different treasure rooms, different enemies. So it's really cool.
It's
and
very
drop
clever
in,
game.
Drop out, co-op. Like
voice support.
Exactly.
Like,
you can chat with your friends. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's... I like it. It's a good game.
Yeah.
It's really ambitious, too, and it's original. And seriously, guys, you guys want 3DS support outside of ports, you have to buy games like this. Like,
exactly.
I understand, like, if you, you know, maybe you don't like that genre. Okay, fair enough. But, like, if you're on the fence, lean towards buying it. It's not that much money.
If only as an investment in the future.
Exactly. Like, you guys have to support the games you want to support. And, you know, Nintendo consoles have the reputation for everyone goes to buy Mario Tennis before they buy something like Heroes of Ruin. And honestly, if I had to make a choice between the two, I would get Heroes of Ruin.
Just because it's a more full-fledged adventure. But, hey, save up and get both.
Exactly. Theater Rhythm I've had a chance with, and I really like it.
I haven't had a chance to play that one, but it looks awesome. The music of Final Fantasy is incredible.
It was such a goofy idea. I mean, when I first heard of it, first I was mocking the name because, you know, for the longest time I was trying to – I was like – theat rhythm.
Yeah, wait, for like months. If you go back and listen to old podcasts, we call it like theat rhythm for like 4 months or something.
The goofiest name. And the funny thing is, I was like talking to folks at Square, and they're like, "Yeah, we're probably going to change that name." Well, I guess we didn't do that. But yeah, so theater rhythm is very, very clever. I've only spent maybe 15 minutes with it back at TGS.
It's basically like a rhythm game. You play as little chibi versions of the Final Fantasy characters. Yep. It goes through all of the core entries, I believe.
They'll eventually. So assuming the DLC for they have not determined DLC here in the US, which is hope they do. For now it's core entries, but they are going to get to all the side stuff eventually.
For something like music tracks, especially, you'd think that'd be way too easy to localize.
It's not hard. It's probably just a matter of whether NOA has the structure and tech in place in that time.
That's true.
Although it's a ways away. It's what, July, right?
July, yeah.
There's like a few different types of game rhythm games you play in there. One is you sort of walk, and each one has its own sort of associated type of way of playing. But one, you're the little chibi dude walking across the battlefield, and then the other one is like a actual boss fight against that purple octopus dude in FF6. I can't remember his name right now.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember his name, but I just seeing him in the theater rhythm.
And you played a demo.
It was just an early version back at TGS. Yeah. It was actually in Japanese, but Square was sort of walking me through it and showing me what was going on. And then the third major mode, and there might be more but off the top of my head, these are the three I played. The third one is sort of actually where you're playing through some of the cutscenes. Mm. So like if I recall correctly, I played like the Waltz of the Moon from Final Fantasy VIII.
It's the actual cutscene,
and then there's just like little markers that you hit while you're watching it or something like that. It's all. I mean, that's like 7-8 months ago, but that was the gist of it. Very cool though. Very cool.
Like this is a pretty cool list of really different 3DS games that are coming all this summer. So
yeah, and I mean, the last ones are Conquest. I haven't played. Kingdom Hearts seemed pretty cool. I mean, I'm not actually. I mean, I love Disney, but I've never been into Kingdom Hearts per se, but it seemed pretty good. I mean,
the new battle system looks I haven't had a chance to play it hands on, but the new battle system looks like it'll be pretty cool. Yeah. And it's got Sora back, which is cool. Yeah.
Okay, so let's dive in a little more into you had a lot of time with Mario Tennis and Heroes of Ruin.
Yes.
You got to play Mario Tennis at a demo that I didn't get to go to, which makes me sad. What did they show? Like, what did they reveal?
The Mario Tennis demo, they mainly were focusing on the multiplayer aspects and the mini games. The mini games are one of the more exciting things because, like, the main game is solid. I pretty much knew from what I played at GDC that the main game was going to be solid.
Have we talked about that GDC stuff here?
I don't know if we have, actually.
It's very good. I mean,
it's a little more fast-paced than some of the other ones, which is cool because, like, there's no, like, big, long cutscene of Yoshi swinging. Right. It's just straight action.
And they kind of got rid of a lot of the zaniness. It's much more straightforward, just tennis.
There's no more RPG elements. It's just, like, it's tennis. It's a really good game of tennis.
The one thing I thought was really cool was and it took me a while to figure out exactly what was going on, but it's very positional strategy game, and that sounds stupid, but like basically what it is like there's those little glowing spots that show up on the map, and if you make it to that little glowing spot and then you hit the proper button, all your shots are color coordinated, and so as long as you hit the proper type of shot, you can hit like a very powerful shot.
Yeah,
and I thought that was very cool actually, because it forces you to think about where you are on the court, where those glowing spots are, where if you can get to them, if it's worth getting to them. And I thought that was really cool because, for the most part, tennis, I'll just hover in the center or whatever.
Yeah,
and you don't really think about it. You just
hit close to the ball.
Yeah, exactly. You get over there as fast as you can. But now, what if I try and go for the riskier spot and stuff?
I thought
that was really cool. And it made it very fast and addicting, which
stands out for me is that there's so much depth in this one, especially. It's like, it's not just button mashing. Like, you probably could and you do okay, but like, especially in the mini games, those are there to sort of help you hone your skills, and they really show you how much depth there is, how the different moves shoot the ball differently, and all kinds of things. And they're really fun. Like, there's one mini game, I think they're called special games or something, but where basically you're standing in front of a wall, and on the wall, the original Super Mario Bros. Is scrolling by, and you have to like hit the coins and the enemies. And you can go down the secret tubes and stuff. And like,
is it just that one? Like, is it just one Mario level, or like, is it just?
It scrolls through the different levels.
Oh, just all. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
okay,
it's
cool.
Pretty cool. There's one where like the different parts of the floor keep disappearing, and you have to keep the game going without it going through the hole.
Like, oh wow!
It's pretty cool.
Oh,
there's
cool.
a lot to it for just a tennis game.
Awesome. And then did you get to play online or like test out the multiplayer stuff?
I played
stuff,
multiplayer with the other people there.
Okay.
I was,
okay,
like,
gotcha.
Local.
But, yeah.
It was cool. It's a really good game of tennis. So like whether or not you like tennis or whatever, like this is a really fun game to keep your eye on.
I mean, that's what I've always loved about the Mario sports titles is I know, you know, Mario sort of gets sort of a crap deal sometimes because people are like, oh, he's everywhere. He's in stupid sports games. But like, I'm not the biggest sports game fan. I mean, I watch football, but I don't really care about playing video games about that stuff. But the Mario Tennis ones always seem to kind of distill it down to something a little more entertaining and kind of at a fundamental level.
Add their own spin to it.
It's
really cool.
Here's a ruin. Okay, go.
Yeah. It's just, it's remarkable how different it is from any other 3DS game that's on the market. And like, obviously, I just played, you know, a few hours of it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you had access to, what, like three major areas or something
like that? Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know if the story goes crazy or anything. Sure. But what I played, like, it was really interesting. There's a million quests. Just even just running through. And I was, like, I was talking to NPCs and stuff, but I wasn't going crazy because I knew I was just trying to get as far as I could. But even then, I picked up, like, 50 side quests within 30 minutes or something.
Yeah, and everyone just needs something or go kill this thing.
Yeah,
go get
just,
me
like,
this
go
thing,
collect this many of this or go talk to this person or whatever. So there's just so many missions, so many quests, so many things to collect. It's just so much to do. It's just this big, like I said earlier, just Diablo-style RPG on your 3DS. And you can play online or locally with, like, what was it? Up to four players, I think. But it's really cool.
I messed around with a little bit of GDC. And, I mean, the thing, I mean, one downside to it is I don't think it's maybe necessarily as graphically pushing the envelope as some other games.
Yeah, I noticed that too. The graphics aren't terribly impressive.
They're fine.
Yeah, they're okay. They're not bad.
I wasn't like, oh, but
it's not like RE where it's like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. It's trying to do something a little different, though. It does remind me a lot of, like, you know, exactly, Diablo. And
it really has that feel.
I mean, the character models and stuff and the kind of monsters and things sort of remind me a little of, like, maybe WoW a little bit.
Yeah, a little
World of Warcraft-ish.
Some things, I wish the customization, there had been more to it. Because, like, when I heard you could customize your characters, like, oh, cool.
Oh, like when you build them at the beginning.
Yeah, but it's like you get...
There's like a handful of archetypes,
like
handful of colors,
character types you can choose from, and you can change the hair, but it's not too in depth.
Yeah, it's pretty basic, and I think you can do a little bit of color swapping, I think, or something
to
that effect.
A little bit, maybe.
Fair call.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like when you get down into the mechanics of like leveling up your character, not so much like visually, but in terms of the skill sets and stuff, I thought that was really deep. And there's just a ton
robust
in there.
Skill trees. And
full inventory system, armors, weapons, all that sorts of stuff.
Abilities. Just there's a lot to this. And so I'm excited to see if it all comes together.
Yeah,
because it's really cool. And I played.
I think you're going to need people to play with.
I played on my own and also co-op with someone, and I can say that it's more interesting with somebody because you can sort of coordinate your attacks and all of that. It's still fun on your own, but it's made to be played with other people.
Definitely.
That's why they made it so easy to do it.
Let's touch upon one other game, actually, not related to these. Spirit Camera. You just did the review.
That's right.
Didn't like it so much.
Yeah, it was a really tricky one, and Rich can attest to this, as I spent a long time working on this review and thinking, gathering my thoughts, because it was such a weird title. It's like, it's not a bad game. It's just that there was so little to it that it really, to me, felt like a downloadable game. Like, literally, you can beat the whole thing in, like, 3 hours, and there's very little interaction with the game for the player. Like, you are mostly just looking around and pressing A, and then every now and then there'll be a ghost fight type thing. But I know it's such a cool concept, but it just didn't really amount to all that much.
Well, it struck me as, you know, I didn't have a chance to mess with it too much, but you were describing it to me, and like, reminds me a lot of Face Raiders. It reminds me a lot of the AR card games, and different, you know, you're creepier, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, I almost was sitting there going like, well, wouldn't it be cool if this hadn't been like part of a firmware update for the 3DS, you know, like
really
when they
cool.
did the last update, you got Find Me Too and all that. So like, what if this was that next thing? Because like, you know, from the way you were describing it, it seemed cool. And it certainly, you know, I'm a big fan of like, scary horror games and stuff like that, but like Why not just make this? It doesn't seem like it stepped it up too much from some of the stuff we were seeing in Face Raiders in those games. Mm-hmm. So why not just make it one of those extra awesome parts about being a 3DS owner?
Exactly. It's like the atmosphere in the game is great. They do a great job of sort of setting the spooky tone, and looking around at ghosts with your 3DS is pretty cool. But there's just, it doesn't go anywhere, which is the big problem. It's like, yeah. I just sat and thought about it. I was like, you know, if I had paid $10 for this on the eShop, I probably would have been a little peeved because there's not much. But it's right. It's not a $10 eShop game. It's a full price.
And you said it's game over in, what, like a couple hours or whatever?
Yeah, two, 3 hours. You can beat it entirely, mine everything there is to do in it in just 3 hours.
Yeah, that's a bit of a shame. Because it's, you know, it's weird. It's like, and we were talking about this too when you were sort of wrapping up the review, but it's like... Mm-hmm. You know, when I first got the 3DS, you know, the software at the beginning, I mean, some of it was good, but, it wasn't the sort of stuff where you sit there running to tell everybody about.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and, but the stuff I was showing off was Face Raiders.
Was the included AR
and
games,
the AR
yeah.
cards and stuff like that. And yeah, I don't know. I just think that it would be cool to see games really take advantage of this, but at least currently it seems like, you know, at least developers feel limited or can only go so far or,
yeah,
you know,
and that's
weird.
The thing. Like, and I was a little disappointed because I thought that's what this was going to be. I thought it was mm-hmm. going to be taking the AR games to the next level,
right.
Like making it feel like a full experience, but it right. still felt just like an included thing.
Yeah. And creepy Face Raiders.
Yeah,
although
exactly.
Face Raiders always are kind of creepy.
Well, yeah. Creepier Face Raiders.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's another hurdle, though, is that it's sort of difficult to play. Because, like, there were several times where I was like, oh, I want to play Spirit Camera, but I'm sitting on the couch.
Right.
And it's I've got the lights up. I don't want to go find a swivel chair and a room right. and a bright light. Like, because with the AR games, you have to have bright light. Otherwise, your 3DS can't detect.
Because the camera's
the book.
Crap.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have to have these very specific conditions to play it.
Right.
Which, I mean,
yeah. Good
it
luck.
Sucks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, it's actually, I mean, in
it's
an odd way.
Not what you can do about it, but it sucks.
It's probably perfect for whatever office it was developed in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sort of the irony of it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. All right, cool. So what else we got? That's about it. Oh, Captivate, just in a broad sense. So I think some people got a little too excited, both just you know.
You
from,
promised there would be giant
yeah,
Nintendo-specific exclusives.
So, like... some things to keep in mind, like we already mentioned earlier, but, you know, Audrey and I cover more than just Nintendo. And lately, especially, like, I've just been handling a lot of stuff outside of the realm of Nintendo or stuff that does have some, you know, influence on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one way or the other, maybe it's not directly there. But
it's like for Rich and I are big Resident Evil fans.
Yeah.
And so when something Resident Evil comes up in the office, like him or I will
yeah,
generally take care
us.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can expect both of us to be pretty much all over RE6 in the coming
yeah.
months. But yeah, so I think a lot of people, when they see, oh, I'm going to Capcom Captivate, they're like, there must be Nintendo things
yeah,
there. And
yeah.
it's just not, it's not quite how we cover games. We do have the channels, we do have the teams, but that's not exclusively
if,
what
if
we're always doing.
If one of us has an expertise that lies
yeah, yeah.
in a certain game or genre, like, we're still going to.
Exactly,
gonna
exactly. Like,
that.
Most people know that I handle a lot of Assassin's Creed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Assassin's Creed 3 is coming to Wii U, but I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, but, so, yeah, I mean, I think some people were expecting, like, a ton of stuff. And the other thing that was interesting about Captivate, and this is pretty typical for these guys, is they're only going to bring a handful of games.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to just make announcement after announcement after announcement. The event actually isn't structured in a fashion to allow them to sit there and make announcement after announcement. They typically have an evening reception where they announce one new game, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the most part, actually, you're just going to presentations for games that you probably have already heard of that have been announced. But these are so like this event was the first formal debuting of our Resident Evil 6. Like we'd seen the trailer,
yeah.
but nobody had sat there and said, this is our vision. This is why we're doing this. Here's what the game looks like in action.
Mm-hmm.
Lost Planet 3 was announced at the event and then we got a presentation for it. Street Fighter Cross Tekken Vita DMC. Devil May Cry, the remake of that. So they, you know, there are probably other titles they have in the works. And yeah. actually, one of the Capcom executives was on their forums lately because people were like, well, where's the Monster Hunter 3 G news? You
yeah,
know, where's
yeah,
where's
yeah.
that? Because it's out in Japan, obviously, and everyone's wondering if it's coming to America. And the executive basically said, like, don't don't get too worried. They didn't outright say it,
which
but like
basically me.
It feels like it's going to come. I mean, that's a tough investment for them because obviously in Japan it's just this huge thing, but here it's not
that's
nearly
weird thing
as
about
big.
Monster Hunter is like it kills. It's a system seller in Japan.
Yeah,
like people buy a system just based on the promise of Monster Hunter. It's like as big as Pokemon or anything.
I was actually laughing because so, you know, all this stuff went up at 8 a.m. and we've done a couple of little bits, you know, in the hours since then and. There were some people complaining, at me, towards me, with me, or not with me, because it's not a big deal to me. But they're complaining, like, how Capcom keeps shafting Nintendo. I was like, okay, like, on Wii, it was a little weird. We got, like, the weird Dark Side Chronicles that, whereas other people were getting, like, Resident Evil 5. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Try did come to Wii. But also...
And it didn't do very well, I don't think.
Not here. But what's important to remember is if you look at the 3DS, Capcom has supported the 3DS... more than any other third party and in a more like quality fashion, especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think probably Ubisoft might have more 3DS games, but they're not very good.
No.
but you know, Resident Evil Revelations, even The Mercenaries, which, you know, is more of a decent game.
Yeah.
Still, right?
It's still like it's good quality.
And 3G, which along with Mario Kart and Mario Land were the reason that the 3DS started dominating in Japan.
Other than shafting Mega Man, they're doing good.
Other than whatever happened there, you're right. Like, they had been a huge support of the 3DS when nobody else was. And when other people were canceling projects, Capcom kept it through.
Yeah, well, in a lot of ways, I think the success of Capcom's games on 3DS has sort of shown these other developers, Square, all these other people, like, hey, these things, they do well, and they sell well.
I mean, where other people were canceling, like I said, and where other people were just porting, Capcom was like, here's an original Resident Evil game that not only is good, but it's one of the best-looking games on that system, rivaling, maybe even besting, depending on how you look at it, anything Nintendo's done.
And it's like right up there with one of the better RE games, too. Like, they weren't just like, oh, stupid portable throwaway.
Exactly.
Like, they made a real Resident Evil game.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think for people to sit there and get frustrated that Capcom didn't have any Nintendo news at this event, it's premature and it's a little foolish.
It doesn't mean that they're not ever making games for Nintendo platforms again.
And so
they didn't have anything to announce.
I had one interesting bit of news that I brought back, Nintendo related, which sort of a disappointment, but it was interesting. And I used that word on Twitter and some people took it to mean like, oh, there's a game being revealed for the 3DS. It's not true at all. Interesting to me is just what I mean. Interesting. if I'm super excited and thrilled, that's different. But, you know, when I came back, I was super excited about Resident Evil 6. I was super excited about DMC. I was super excited about Lost Planet 3. Why? Because I like video games. Yeah. So, you know, I like to play video games. But what was interesting to me is I was in the interview with the Resident Evil 6 producers. Mm-hmm. And we're asking all sorts of questions. And I say, is this game coming to Wii U? And, you know, you look at all the support that these guys have given Nintendo over the years, especially lately, and it makes sense. Their answer was not no. It was odd. It was, you know, currently we are focused on 360. This is not a direct quote, but currently we're focused on 360 and PS3. At this time, we have no plans for Wii U.
Yeah.
That is not a no. It's just come, you know, we are just bringing this to this, this, and this. Now, there are two ways to look at it, and I don't know which one it is. Mm-hmm. One is, it's, you know, just a polite way of saying, no, sorry, not happening.
Yeah.
But the way it was worded makes me feel like there is a little bit of an opening that maybe they are planning on it. Maybe it's in the works, and they're just not allowed to say it.
And like, let's be honest. It's an HD system, and it's... Sure. I would guess it's going to go there eventually because, I mean, that's what Capcom does. Everyone remember when Resident Evil 4 was a GameCube exclusive?
And then it showed up on PlayStation 2 very quickly.
Like 2 months later
So, I mean,
like, that didn't last.
It actually got announced for PlayStation 2 before it even came out on GameCube, if I recall correctly.
I think you're right.
And I mean, the other reality of it is that if we're going to talk about this a bit, I'm sure at some point, but like in terms of Wii U, it's supposed to be about as powerful as PlayStation 3 or 360. We're not quite sure how much, but if Nintendo has any smarts, it will be very easy for publishers to bring their games that already are being developed for those platforms over to Wii U. They need that equality.
Exactly. And that's a good segue into our next topic, which is there's been a lot of Wii U rumors popping up.
Sure.
Like, this developer says that it's the best thing in the world. This developer says that it sucks. Like, something that people need to keep in mind is that these are all rumors.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we don't know, we won't know until E3 what's true. Because, like, we've had big developers saying that it's not going to be as powerful as PS3. We've had big ones saying, who are actually named, saying that it's going to be more powerful. We've had people say twice as powerful.
And, I mean,
we don't know.
The other thing is, like, it's rumors, and it's also the opinion of that developer.
Exactly. Like, and maybe that developer couldn't figure out the shaders or something, so they think it sucks.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it's different for
you
everyone.
Guys have looked at video games, right? I mean, like, not to be too insulting about it, but, like, different developers are clearly capable of different things on the same platform, you know? Like, if I'm saying PS3 is this super powerful thing, then why does one game look like crap and the other one look amazing? Because different developers are capable of different things.
Exactly.
So if I'm a developer and I walk onto Wii U and I'm just like, I can't get this thing to work right. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the system has some flaws. I mean, like, for example, the PlayStation 3 was notoriously difficult to use early on.
Exactly.
And people figured it out and then it worked. But for some people to have a handful of months of access to this new platform that's evolving with dev kits, blah, 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 to sit there. And I mean, I think it's, you know, it's premature for any developer to really speak. And, you know, I think a lot of them are just speaking because they're excited and it's a topic to discuss. But, you know, just because one developer doesn't think it works very well, or even a few of them, does not mean that this thing is not capable. It's anybody's guess. And the other thing is we're at an era now where game consoles are so powerful that in some ways it doesn't matter. Like, how many polygons you can push isn't, and how crisp your textures are isn't necessarily as important as your lighting effects, your shader
effects.
Yeah, right
now things are so realistic that it's just really how you use it, well you use it.
Implementation of AI, stuff like that is way more important, I think, to me and to the future of the industry than, you know, this character model is, you know, and it, and I understand why people get excited about that stuff. And when I'm talking about, like, you know, the power of their shaders and all that sort of stuff, and like AI and all that, good luck trying to tell me which console is more powerful.
Yeah.
Like, you want to go compare your shaders? Okay, you go compare your shaders. You go tell me what standard you compare your shaders. I don't know what you're going to do.
And, like, we already know that it's a 1080 system. They've already confirmed that. So it's going to be capable of looking as good, at least as PS3.
That HD Zelda demo looked pretty damn good.
You know, it looked really crisp from where I was standing.
And who's to say what ends up looking way more powerful or whatever when the next Xbox and the next PlayStation come out.
Exactly.
I mean, everyone, I remember the drum was getting beat that PlayStation 3 was going to be so much more powerful than Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And the realities of the industry.
The
realities of the industry have to keep them pretty close.
Yeah.
Like, developers cannot afford to go crazy on one platform anymore. They need their games to be across multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've gotten so many emails. I see them come through, and I see them come through on Twitter. Like, I'm really worried. I'm really worried. Mm-hmm. I'm really worried. I can understand that in the terms of Wii, because Wii was, like, way less powerful.
Way behind.
You know, and we all knew that.
This is at least, it's going to be an HD system. So, like, just don't worry. These are rumors. And like we said, they're rumors. They're early on. And, you know, we've heard from both sides. We've heard people who are very impressed and people who aren't.
I've flat out asked some developers. I'm like, man, so, we hear some people just complaining about this thing. And they say it's not very good. And he's like, well, you know, some of these people have just been like, well, maybe those developers suck.
Yeah.
You know?
Or like the Aliens Colonial Marines guy. He keeps going on and on about Wii U. He thinks it's that the tablet's great. He's even said that it's going to be the best looking one of all the versions.
Sure.
So it's just, it comes down to developers, like you said. Yeah. So just don't. Yeah, we've gotten tons of emails and tweets and posts on our walls about this. Just don't think on it. Don't worry too much about it.
Don't worry too much. I mean,
it's going to be an HD system, and that's really all you need to know for now. We're going to find out more at E3. But
and I know you guys get tired of hearing this during the Wii era, where, like, your games didn't look so good, but they played really well.
Yeah,
but
it's like, not going to be like that.
And ultimately, it does come down to the games, though.
Yeah.
You know, I will take a Mario Galaxy over a lot of other games. Mm-hmm. And
gameplay ultimately counts. That's what matters.
Sure.
That's why we're all gamers, because we like fun gameplay.
So.
hopefully.
Yeah.
But, and so, yeah. Just
boom.
Boom. Don't worry about it.
Jumping back to Captivate really quick, Resident Evil is really pretty and cool.
And Leon.
Yeah, you got Leon.
That's a point.
Lost Planet 3 was really cool.
And then Leon and Chris point their guns at each other, and it's like, oh my god.
DMC was really cool. Now here's your cue to talk about Resident Evil some more.
That was my bit.
Oh, that was your bit. That was
cool.
That was it. Yeah, I really do hope Resident Evil 6 comes to the system. But just one final note on that, though, and like how they couldn't comment on it or maybe couldn't. I think it's kind of weird. We're seeing it's this weird inconsistency right now with people. So, I mean, obviously we've seen Assassin's Creed 3 get formally announced for Wii U. Mm-hmm. And yet it felt like maybe Capcom wasn't willing to say anything on Resident Evil 6. And keep in mind that when the 3DS first got unveiled, Capcom announced the support of two Resident Evil games.
Yeah.
And then they followed up, you know, a year or so later with two Monster Hunter games. So
yeah.
Capcom's clearly willing to put the support behind Nintendo if it sees fit. So we'll see. But it also just, you know, we've talked to other publishers and developers who aren't really willing to say whether they're, you know, doing Wii U, or if they are, they can't really talk about it too much. And
yeah.
It's no secret that Nintendo every year likes to really just come to E3 strong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They like to keep their secrets. They like to be able to just be like, game, game, game.
Off of it at E3.
Yeah, and it always makes our jobs harder. But, you know, that's... I mean, I would love it if Resident Evil 6 or what any other game, especially third party, could just be announced right now. Save me some time and trouble.
Yeah.
And, like, when I get to E3, I'd be like, okay, show me your Mario game. But, you know, Nintendo likes to just really bring it. And keep in mind, this is a very important E3 for Wii U. I mean... It's the E3 for Wii U. Last year was like proof of concept. And I know a lot of people were like, oh, you got to show everything. Blah, 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 blah. Where's the release date? Where's the price?
I think people were expecting a little too much out of last year's E3. They were expecting a full reveal, which, like, if you have followed Nintendo over the past E3s that they've been to, they never do that. They always like... Well, I was just like tease the system at
we
first.
We showed up at least once or twice.
Exactly. It's like, here it is. And you sort of get talking about it. And then, like, the E3 closer to launch, it's like, boom, here's what it is.
If I recall, and don't hold me to this, but if I recall the Wii timeline correctly, it was like it got mentioned one year. The next year, like, I think we saw the case and some basic discussion about it. And I think the next, and then between E3s, we saw the controller, and then we had sort of the first formal unveiling, something like that.
Yeah.
And a bit of it changed too. I mean, I remember when they were talking about like an add-on that could play DVDs and stuff, and that all changed. And for a while they were even being a little coy about its power level too, and I seem to recall them sort of vaguely trying to imply that it was going to be pretty close to the other systems, but obviously we know that's not true. It's all a little hazy, but you know, it took a little while, but this year is big, right? So the system has to come out. It has to come out. You know, they've said it's coming out by the end of the year. It's got to be priced competitively.
I mean, just think about that. We're getting a lot of info at E3 if it's coming out within a few months after
and that. That said, I'm actually wondering if they do reveal all of it. I mean, if you think back to the 3DS unveiling, they were like, yeah, Kid Icarus, blah, 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 blah. Here's the design of it.
They did hold back on stuff.
They did. They didn't tell us a release date.
Or like the included games or
We didn't have a launch lineup. We didn't have a release date and we didn't have a price.
I don't think they had even detailed like the friends
list. No. Yeah, a lot of that was still very vague. And then...
Yeah, full reveal doesn't mean they're going to give you like a manual of everything that it has. It just means that you're going to basically have a pretty good idea of what it can do.
And if you recall back to the GameCube, actually, so at the GameCube launch or debut, they had debuted the system. They showed the physical system at, I think it was Space World the year before, or TGS, I can't remember which, or both. And they gave trailers for a bunch of games, whereas where that infamous Zelda trailer showed up that we're all super excited about, and Luigi's Mansion got shown there and everything. At E3 that next year, they showed off the lineup of games, and they gave a release date, which then changed.
It
actually switched, because it was, I believe it was coming first, and then Xbox was coming a few days later, and then they swapped. We actually have a cool article. Lucas went and ran through all the E3s, Nintendo's past 10 E3s, and it's in there. But, so, I mean, I don't know if we'll get all that. They do. I mean, and if you're thinking from like a company perspective, it does make sense. If you do a huge blowout here with all your major games, but then you save
just
a few little bits, you know, so that you can get
to release.
Exactly like September, boom, it's coming in November or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I do fully expect November.
Mm-hmm.
That's just traditionally what they do.
That's what they've done for the last two systems. So it's a pretty good guess.
They like bringing their big games in November, which,
I mean, it's a good time.
It's like ahead of Thanksgiving.
Right before Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah, all the shopping stuff.
Pretty much makes sense.
Anyway.
But anyway,
Reader Q&A?
reader Q&A.
We got time for that?
All right. I pretty much randomly grabbed four questions.
Oh, so that should be good.
Let's see.
All right.
Scott Baker, this better be good.
Better be good, Scott.
My question is a bit random. Which Nintendo controller / portable has your favorite D-pad? I asked because he pulled out his DS Lite and he hates the D-pad. I actually really love the D-pad on the DS Lite, personally. But
interesting.
Yeah, what's your favorite D-pad of all time?
SNES
is pretty good. Yeah,
I would probably go with that one.
Yeah.
I mean,
the D-pad on the GameCube controller is crap.
It was crap, and it was just in the position where you'd never use it.
It's great for most taunting, but that's about it.
Exactly. I don't like the Wii's.
The 3DS one's a little too, like, squeaky, clicky for me.
I don't like that one as much.
Not placed perfectly.
Yeah.
I really did like the DS Lite D-pad. I thought it
felt really good. DS Lite's squishier, and I is the clickier one.
I can't ever remember which ones. I think you're right.
So I would probably go more with the eye than the light.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably go with SNES. But I mean, again, like the weird thing is like when I'm saying my favorite, it also comes down to like the games that I was messing with at the time, right? So like I probably played more games on the NES D-pad just because I had the NES for longer and was playing it longer. Yeah. The SNES I had to go to a friend's house to play. But yeah, although I will say that generally speaking, I like Nintendo's D-pads more than anybody else's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they have the patent on the plus sign, and that to me is
that is the D-pad to me.
Yeah, whenever anybody else has the other weird, like, triangles and stuff.
Or, like where they're separated irritating. Out. Like, it's just irritating to me.
I guess the answer would be SNES, just from, like, actual design standpoint. I played the most probably with the NES one, though, I guess.
Yeah. So there you go, Scott.
Yeah.
And Ben...
I don't know.
Sorry, Ben says, "Hey, NBC. I was wondering which weapons are your favorite in Kid Icarus Uprising."
Oh, good lord!
The only correct answer is Viridi palms.
Yeah. So I would go palms in general. I really like.
They have the homing abilities, which is crazy helpful.
I did find in multiplayer, I preferred to go to swords. It just had sort of a more combat style and distance and range that I preferred. And just power levels and stuff. But palms were what I used basically the entire campaign.
Yeah, once I found a set of palms, I found the Verde palms I liked, I pretty much just stayed with them. Like, I'd find new ones, and maybe they were a little bit more powerful, but I just loved the feel of them.
I was going with, I think I was using Ninja Palm for the most part, but and that was after I sort of breeded one that I liked. That had some stats that I liked. But yeah, palms... Palms, swords, sometimes. Most of the other ones, just didn't really like. I don't know. Yeah. Didn't have the right feel.
Yeah, I don't like the ones that are, like, only melee.
Super close, I don't like. Super far away, I don't like either.
Have a good balance.
Yep.
Yeah, bows are pretty good, too, but...
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, like palms.
Cool.
All right. Two left. Timothy Johns. Is it bad that whenever I'm not using my 3DS, I leave it on the cradle? Will that kill the battery faster?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. You're probably okay.
I should just stop charging.
Yeah, I'm always paranoid about that. I don't know why. Like, I don't like to leave things plugged in after they're fully charged. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it actually does anything to it.
I think so. I mean, mine runs out of battery all on its own, just plenty enough. So, yeah, I don't think it does.
Yeah. So you're probably
fine. I've never tried to test it, though. I mean, like...
You tell us, Timothy.
Sit there and be like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck.
All right, and Eli Wilson. When you first saw the Wii with its debut and trailer in 2007, were you disappointed with what you saw at the time? And if so, has the Wii U met your standards, and did you have a better reaction to Wii U?
Oh, man.
That's going pretty far back.
I'm trying to remember my exact... To me, my like biggest memory of Wii... I was an intern at IGN back then, like back in 06, because the system actually, did you say 07? Because it came out in 06.
I said 07.
The system came out in 06, right?
I believe so.
I thought so, because Xbox was 2005.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was November 19th, 2006.
Something like that. So I was an intern earlier that year when they revealed the name. And I was driving into the office.
We all remember that moment.
Yeah. and I remember seeing, it must have been an email or something that came through. And I think it was, Pear or somebody, someone on the mm-hmm. games team has sent it through. And I was doing comic book stuff back then, but I was aware of it. And then I remember getting into the office, though, because back then, Pear and Matt and Bozon, we were all in the same office down in L.A.
Yeah.
And I remember it was just, like, astonishment.
Yeah.
Like, we were just blown away. And it was weird because, like, I still knew I would buy the system. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted it. I knew that
yeah.
I think at that point we knew Twilight Princess was coming to it, yeah, and I knew all that stuff, and I knew I was going to buy it, but there was something about just hearing that name and going, this system isn't quite going to be
cool
what it. It's not going to be for me as much as the other ones used to be.
Because I can't remember my initial reaction to hearing about the Wii, but I remember, I mean, early on, I was very excited. I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to get to fucking wield a freaking wield a Master Sword.
Dude,
and
like, early, they were like, Revolution. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, Revolution. Yes, I was so excited. Yes, I was like, yes, it's going to be the Nintendo Revolution.
Exactly.
But I remember my boyfriend, John, actually called, because I was at school or something, and afterwards, he called me and told me this, and I thought he was totally pranking me. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, okay, it's called Wii, whatever. And then it was true.
Yeah, it was a strange thing, and we were just
really
all sitting
strange.
There, and you know the usual jokes sort of emerged around that point because like and
like, how do you go to your buddies and say, "Yeah, I just got a Wii." It's awesome.
Yeah, totally. And like, I remember by the time the system came out, I was
used to it eventually.
I was used to it, and plus it was a new Zelda game. I wasn't going to miss that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I thought Wii Sports was really cool, and I seem to recall my parents actually thinking it was really cool. Actually, mm-hmm. I ended up buying them a system a year or two later.
Yeah.
But it's been an odd system because there's absolutely no doubt that the system has had a very strong library.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you could in some ways make the argument that this system has had a better overall library than GameCube. And yet I remember the GameCube more fondly.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because it just felt like it was more for me, lunchbox handle and all.
Yeah, that's exactly. Is the GameCube felt like it was for gamers, where the Wii, like, well, it did have some amazing games, Galaxy, you know, Twilight Princess, it had lots of great stuff, but they made it very clear that it wasn't just a gamer's console, it was also for the moms and the grandmas, and when you go down the Wii aisle, it sucks seeing all the shovelware and stuff.
And there's something strange, too, like, over time, and there were a couple E3s in particular where this just became so evident. There was one year in particular, can't tell you which one, but if I go look at Lucas's old features,
the Cammy vacation photos.
The it was the one with new. I think it was the one with New Super Mario Brothers that Wii, because it was like Shaun White snowboarding, New Super Mario Brothers Wii, and I think that's the one that ended with Wii Music.
I think
And that year was just such a devastating year because you're just sitting there going, they don't have anything for me.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think.
That's when
all this is so hazy to me, but if I recall correctly, I think that's the year I went out and bought an Xbox 360.
Oh, nice.
I was just like, I want games to play, damn it, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd been wanting one anyway, but that was like a great year to do it because, like, I'm not buying Wii Music, I don't need Wii Music. I remember watching Matt suffer through Wii Music greatly.
Yeah.
I don't know, great system, great library. At the same time, it just totally didn't feel like it was for you. So
yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. It's really kind of a shame because all you ever think about when you think of Wii is like, it's the family friendly system, blah blah, bad graphics.
Controller
but,
not quite what I want it to be.
Yeah, but it had great games, like the Virtual Console. That was awesome.
Sure.
You know, like the first time
totally
we were able to
underappreciated
digitally play all those
too.
Games. Like,
yeah.
There was a lot of great stuff about the system.
I know so many people that are like,
about.
they played some of those games for the first time on Virtual Console, and or, this is their gateway into Nintendo.
Yeah.
You know, not just like I missed this game or that game and now I'm playing them, but like this is my, you know, view into all of Nintendo's history. And that's a very powerful thing. And it's a shame that it never got as much of the third-party stuff as it could have.
But, like, it's something that you or I take for granted. Like, we grew up playing these games as they came out.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, so many people, we get so many emails from NBC listeners or whatever, like, who they didn't play Chrono Trigger until it came to the Virtual Console.
I mean, you're talking about a system that has not only Skyward Sword and Twilight Princess, but Majora's Mask, but Ocarina of Time,
Link to the Past. The whole Nintendo legacy backing it up.
Yeah.
So, like,
It's not bad.
It's not bad. Like, yeah. It was a pretty good little system, actually. It's just too bad that its image is sort of
It started
marred.
With that name.
Exactly, that was the beginning.
And after a while, I never had a huge problem with the name. I didn't, you know, it's fine, whatever, mm-hmm. no big deal. And now I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
No big deal. But it still was a very different signal. And sometimes when you change
sort of
your image... Yeah, when you change your image, that's just it.
Yeah.
That's your image.
I sort of had a similar reaction when they announced that the new one was called Wii U. Because
sure.
I was like, oh, really? Because, like, I mean, and like I just said, there are tons of things I love about the Wii, and it was a great system in retrospect. But it's like, yeah. I was kind of ready for that
I did
era
a mental face
to be
palm.
Over.
You know, it was funny. I was totally ready for Wii 2.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, when they did Wii U. Because we were all in the auditorium, but mm-hmm. you guys were sitting off in a different area. I had to be collected to go talk to Miyamoto or whatever. Like, if you have an interview after the conference, you sit in a special area
yeah.
so they know where you are, so they can, like, wrangle you. And then I ended up getting lost with the PR person anyway. It was really weird. It was awesome, but really weird. But, yeah, and I just remember sitting there, and they said Wii U, and I was like, oh, this is too much.
Yeah.
Too much, sir. You go too far. Like, it was just, you know, it was, again, trying to be clever and cutesy and weird
yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
and you were just like, no.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Wii 2 or something else.
Yeah.
The Super Nintendo Ultimate whatever, but, like... This is Wii U, you know.
NESX.
Exactly. And, like, I'll be fine with it again.
I don't care.
That's
another thing. Like, you'll 2 years from now, we won't even think about the fact if they keep the name
yeah.
it's Wii U.
Yeah, and but, I mean, like, the graphics, cool. The Zelda demo was awesome.
Yeah.
I think that potentially, especially with Nintendo, just given Nintendo's pedigree, the controller itself will do some amazing things, and in a way that maybe the Wii Remote didn't. You know, you're still getting all your traditional controls, plus the cool touchpad
yeah.
controls, plus you still have your motion controls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all that is really cool, and I think that it won't be as disruptive to core gameplay ideas, and especially because the system's powerful.
Yeah.
So that hedges a lot of that. So now, mm-hmm. you know, before I had to deal with the name and the branding and the image, plus the controller that couldn't quite do the games
and the
that I really...
that weren't yeah. up to par and all kinds of
and,
stuff.
And because I know Nintendo fans are out there going like, they're like raging. But I don't have a problem with the Wii Remote. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it also cannot do a lot of the other games that I like to play. And it can't support a lot of the games that I like mm-hmm. to play, plus the system power. So that in itself... is a problem.
Like, Nintendo knew just how to use it. Like, Skyward Sword
exactly.
was brilliant.
I mean, Skyward Sword is one of my favorite games of all time.
Mario
Done.
Galaxy, like, it was
yeah.
great in that.
Those are all fine. But then, even Smash Brothers, I can't play with the Wii Remote. It makes me want to cut my hands off. And,
yeah.
and that, I think, you know, that's like one of their key franchises, and you can't play it well with that. So
yeah.
that, obviously, is a problem. So...
My boyfriend laughs at me all the time because I'm always like, man, the one problem with the Wii U is that I won't be able to play Brawl on it. He's like,
sure.
"What? Why? You can use the classic controller." It's like,
no,
I can't.
No.
I have to use the GameCube controller. So if they can come up with a wireless GameCube controller for Wii U,
oh, come on.
Get on it, Nintendo.
Oh, goodness.
I know you're listening to this.
I think that the Wii U controller could be really cool for Smash Brothers, especially like I could just imagine and I... some reason I think this could be really fun, but if you just have this like giant button in the middle of it that's used for like special attacks,
mm-hmm.
so you're just like playing with the, you know, the dual sticks and the buttons, and then you're just like bam, and you're just like slapping the center of your controller. I think that could be actually kind of addicting. I don't know why. It's like that the Sorry game or whatever you used to play when you're younger. I think it's like that, or I don't know. But anyway, I just think it'd be cool. But anyway, I think to get back to this question, Wii U has a lot of. It's more than just a name. It's more than just an image. But when you combined everything that was going on with Wii plus its name and image, that's very different. And
that's sort of the
It was very different.
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of the thing with still going with the Wii branding is that it's sort of bringing a lot of the Wii baggage along
for
the ride. But this is a whole new ball game. Like, this is a whole new system.
And that's
a whole new set of graphics games. Everything.
And maybe that's why the Wii U name was actually a little disappointing, is because, like, this is so different. This is a new thing.
It's not really giving. That's what a lot of people, we've discussed this before, didn't even know it was a new console.
My parents didn't. They're like, oh, what's that cool tablet add on?
Yeah,
I'm like,
can I buy
that? It's a new console. And, you know, the other thing is I think that Nintendo at the beginning of Wii changed a lot, changed everything. Like, they really, and I know people mock the Wii and all this crap, but like, they really did change a lot of stuff, probably forever, yeah, about how this industry approaches a lot of things and a lot of games and console gaming in general. Yeah. I mean, you go look at Move and Kinect. Mm-hmm. That's like billions of dollars of investment, largely based on what Nintendo did.
And they didn't do crap with it.
You go look at even yeah, I mean, you go look at even Vita.
Yeah.
That's a weird name. Kind of in a sense, because Wii is a weird name. They would have, you know, I mean, who's to say exactly what leads in all these decisions? But you go to
touchscreens.
Yeah, you look at a company that has done touchscreens, has done motion control, has like
they're always paving the way forward. Like maybe it's not going to be the most hardcore hardware, but like they always are looking for some innovative new way to push gameplay forward.
By the time Kinect and Move arrived, people were like, oh, yeah, well, of course, right? That, you know, motion gaming, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, Nintendo was the one that did it
exactly
earlier, you know, and not counting like those weird Genesis accessories where you're punching and kicking, or the power glove,
or the NES and Matt, the pad. Oh, thing, yeah, the power pad. On it. Yeah.
Dumb. But, yeah, so anyway, I guess the point being that my reaction, it's just different. It's a different era. The Wii was the first of that type of thing to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're sitting there kind of shocked that the name is there, and you're just like, no,
yeah,
no, that's not the name.
It's not,
and then
true.
You get shown the press release and you're like, that is the name. Excellent. And I actually remember that they that actually happened a couple weeks before E3, because they wanted that news to sort of like percolate and kind of get out there and get over
people
with
get used
and,
to it, yeah,
and just let that settle so that that wouldn't be the dominant news of E3.
Yeah,
because you can't sit
smart
there and so I have a feeling that if there were to be a name change or if there's something kind of really shocking about this system, that we might actually see it a little before E3, just because
they do that sometimes.
If you want to get it out of the way. I mean, well, it's no secret that the end of Nintendo's fiscal year is coming up in about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Less than three weeks.
And they usually yield some sort of
every end of fiscal year. The last fiscal year was the NTC Tech and the controller, but
the
also
new
the new
game.
Mario game.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. And a year ago is when they confirmed the existence of Wii U, that the system existed, and that they would unveil more at E3. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It is a cool time to be an Nintendo
gamer. It's kind of weird because, like, despite the fact that we don't have games, and we should probably go soon, but
despite
the fact that we don't have any games, like, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's the new console generation. So.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us on another Nintendo Voice Chat.
Woot.
Boom.
Keep it cool,
Koopalings. We'll see you next week, Koopalings.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.